Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now is Phil Sims.
Oh, he's here?
Yeah, he's taping the Inside the NFL program on Showtime today, and that'll air a little bit later in the night. And then, of course, now on the NFL Today. Phil, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Greg and Brian, good morning to you. No, I couldn't come there in person, Brian, because I didn't want to go on Showtime with a headache from hearing you yell at me the whole time.
I would never yell at you, but I am going to start by yelling at you. Why you be lying on Showtime, man? Why you lying, Phil?
It's a lot more fun to lie than tell the truth.
You lying, man. You don't know what the hell Ray Lewis is saying.
Oh, no, I do know what he's saying, that's for sure. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a pretty smart guy, I think. I play quarterback. I look across that desk and I see a man that has arms bigger than my thighs. I said, no, I'm not going to disagree with nothing.
Well, he can't hit you now, baby. Come on.
You never know. I just know one thing. Boy, I when I look at Ray Lewis, I go, he was born and has the genetics to do one thing, that's play football. Man, middle linebacker suited him perfectly. So that's for sure.
Yeah, he's put together like one you played with in Harry Carson.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Good comparison, Harry Carson. First time I get under center, I look across the line at Giant training camp, and I go, oh, my God. Down at Moorhead State, I never saw a defensive lineman the size of Harry Carson.
Right.
So. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
What's the over-under on the Ray Lewis monologue tonight? Is it 9.5 minutes?
No monologues tonight. No. we'll bring him back down to earth. We'll see. Might have a few things to say early in the show. I don't know, but we'll get it going.
It's a very entertaining show on Showtime. You need to check it out with Phil, JB, Ray Lewis, Boomer Esiason, and they had Keegan-Michael Key on last week. It was
Sweet. A
lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's a funny dude, huh?
Funny dude. And Greg, not to interrupt you, but like a real fan.
A Lions fan. Big Lions fan, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He was telling me this, and the backup guard, I liked it. I'm like, oh, man. You start talking about backup offensive linemen, you've got a
– Right.
You know, you're a stalker.
You're getting into the weeds, damn.
So all of us picked against the Lions last week. And, oh, my gosh, you know, all the people in Detroit, everybody all went crazy. Yeah, they picked against us, and look what we did. I said, you know, you shouldn't be alarmed. You should be happy. If you looked at my picking record, you want me to pick against you.
I hear you.
Just like this week, these games, that I've never seen a season where just trying to pick a winner is so hard because every game, you go, man, I don't know. I'm just going to just guess here. And you know,
right.
We all know quite a bit about the game. I know the matchups and all that. It's tough to figure out. You know what tells me? There's so many really good players in the NFL. It's hard to go out there and dominate on a consistent basis. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you. There's so much parity in the league, and I like that from a picking standpoint, not so much, but from a fan and an entertainment standpoint, I think it's great. Right move for the Chicago Bears to plug in the rookie Trubisky?
Oh, well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I was watching the game last Thursday night, and I knew that, we've all been involved in the game. I know the dynamics, the politics, everything that goes into a number one quarterback sitting behind the starter. And the starter's got to do two things. He's got to light it up, and they got to win. And he's got to do both. If he just wins the game and squeaks by, it might not be enough to keep his job. He could play great, and they lose. Well, you know, there's this one play. So they were always looking for the spot to bring him in. And in the short week, they weren't going to do it just with a couple days of practice. So now they get the extra practice or two. They play on Monday night. It was the perfect time, and, you know, when they paid Mike Glennon all that money during the offseason, for this year, really, they knew what they were doing. They knew in the back of their minds, or they had already set their minds to the fact that they were going to draft a quarterback high. And Mike Glennon would be the transition quarterback. And, you know, the transition quarterback now, really, I don't know. I don't know how to say if it's good or bad. It's not great because we're just waiting for him. As soon as there's one sign to get this young guy in there, that everybody's put them in. I mean, look how long it took Deshaun Watson. One half, he's in. And the only guy that's probably going to have to sit is Mahomes because Alex Smith is playing so well.
Gio and Jones with Phil Simms on CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, that brings me to Alex Smith last night. And a couple of knocks on him was you didn't feel great about him getting the ball down the field. And if you were behind and Alex Smith was your quarterback, you didn't have a ton of confidence in him bringing you back. And now you can't say that stuff about Alex Smith. What's been the most impressive part of Alex Smith under Andy Reid and especially this 2017 version of him?
Well, I think there's a lot to it. One, they're a really good football team, really, across the board. That's really cool to watch them. If they're not the fastest team in the NFL, they're in the top two or three, that's for sure. And I think Andy Reid, Alex Smith is making plays down the field. He's still very careful. That's the way you got to be as a quarterback. But they're just designing more stuff for him to throw it down the field. And with Hill and then, getting Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce, I mean, even their other wide receivers, they all can run, so they're all matchup nightmares, and that's why it's working. Did they design as many plays in the pass down the field? I don't know if I knew the numbers, but I know I watch a lot of stuff. And I know they've been trying to draft a quarterback high for 3 years out there in Kansas City. And they finally get one, but Alex Smith, what probably just drove it over the top where they knew they were going to take one this year, was late last year, and especially the playoff game against Pittsburgh, where, I hate to say it now, but he just turned down big throws down the field where he took the safe throw and, Kansas City didn't score enough points. They lost a low-scoring, close game to Pittsburgh, and I think that was probably like, okay, it's time. We got to get one, see where it goes. Alex Smith has answered the call. There's no question. And it's just the better he plays, the longer Mahomes sits on the bench, no question.
What's your analysis of Deshaun Watson thus far?
Well, I think it was his game down in against Tennessee was extremely overrated. I don't know why people got so excited. It just wasn't that good. I'm not going to see the faces on you two right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, where's he going with this?
Yes, oh, no, 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 no. I was with you.
Out there and you bit like a big old guppy.
I did. I definitely did.
But, and listen, I saw a little bit the Cincinnati game. I went, oh, this is interesting because they have nobody on the field except tackles and guards.
Right.
once I watched the New England game, and in New England – when you're out there as a quarterback, you might be the fastest guy on the field. That's a pretty good thing, too, because New England's defense had no chance of corralling him up front. But I said it on the NFL Today this past week. When I watched him at Clemson, and I saw almost everything about him, and I followed him for years, I never just seen him step on the gas. Every throw is, it's a slant, it's another screen. Oh, lob it up to Mike Williams, and he'll just rip it out of everybody's hands. And I never saw, the guy going across the field, the window or the area the throw into is tight and just let it go. And he's let more footballs go in these last couple games than I ever saw him throw in his whole career at Clemson. And I understand pro football is different. He's in a different offense. But there's two things. One, he can be calm in the pocket, and he is calm in the pocket because he knows if something flashes, he can beat him out of there. And the other thing is, I don't think I ever sit there and said, I worry about Deshaun Watson. I worried about Bill O'Brien. What's Bill O'Brien going to do when he puts Deshaun Watson in there? Are you going to tell him to go back there and stand there in the perfect pocket like he has with Tom Brady and every quarterback he's had down in Houston? No, they've livened it up a little. And, it inspires the team. We know this. But how about the offensive linemen? Now, all of a sudden, they got guys that are rushing the passer going, well, we got to keep this dude in the pocket, and they look better. And then even if they get by, he's dodging most of them. So it was a great thing. He played New England's defense, which is not very good against anything. And then he played the Tennessee Titans, who are not very – they're terrible against the pass. So it was a great way to start. Just sitting here this morning going, who do you take Kansas City down in Houston this week. And I'm just wondering, this is going to be an entirely different test for Deshaun Watson. It's going to be fun to watch.
Hey, speaking of that Patriots defense, I think it's sort of alarming that they haven't been able to get much better in the early part of this season, especially with the brain trust that they have there. What needs to happen to get that thing turned around on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, you know, it's a good question. The big thing is the blown assignments. It's real. It's not just something all of us talk about. I got up yesterday morning. I said, man, I got to watch this game. So I turned it on, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, guys uncovered, running down the field, formations that the Patriots are great at adjusting to, that they had, you know, three guys bunched together, and there'd be two guys running uncovered. I mean, everybody was chasing the same guy. It's alarming when you see that. And, you know, I'm not being derogatory to the Patriots, but they lack team speed on defense, especially up front. You know, when you get the other team in an obvious passing situation, you know, you need a guy that can put some pressure on the quarterback, and they do not have that guy right now, so it hurts. It's like I always say, Red Shandy's the old Cardinals baseball coach. Somebody said something about his team once, and they weren't very good. He goes, hey, look, I got a mule out there in Missouri, and I'm running that mule every day. But that mule ain't never going to win the Kentucky Derby, so I don't know what you want me to do. And it's just kind of true, you know. So the Patriots are going to have to find a way to slow offenses down enough just so their offense can get out there and just outscore the other team. That's what's going to – because their offense, man, they're still putting up great numbers, and they got a lot of guys that give you tough matchups.
Now I know what happened to my 40 acres and a mule.
There you go.
There he is.
You know, I cleaned the story up. The book I read was really good, man. I was like, gosh, that's right. That's great. That's right. You know, not to be derogatory towards mules, because, you know, I grew up on a farm, and,
right.
You know, we had some mules out there, and they were big old ornery things, man. That's all I know.
That's right. We learned on this show, donkeys, mules, they keep the coyotes away.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but wow. Apparently that's true.
Yeah.
You learned.
Is that it? Y'all just going to sit here and let me die right now?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, that's pretty what much. I was exactly yes. What I was thinking. Let's see how good Phil is. We're going to get him ready for tonight on Inside the NFL. Work yourself out of that one.
Well, it's easy to work myself. All I have to do is look across the table and I see this guy. Oh, that's why his name's Boomer Esiason. So I just say something derogatory about him and there we go. And I'm sure that's going to happen today.
Tell him to stay out of my closet. He was looking sharp Sunday.
Oh, there is no way I'm going to tell him he's looking sharp.
Well, that jacket was sharp. Maybe not him in it, but the jacket was pretty.
No, I'm just saying, you know, he goes, oh, man, do I look good today. You've seen it. He circles his face. He goes, you know what this is? What is it, Boomer? It's the moneymaker. Oh, God.
Oh, that's sickening.
Nobody loves himself more than Boomer.
I would agree with that.
Well, guys, have a good morning.
Thanks,
you too,
man.
Phil. Take care, man. We'll be watching tonight on Inside the NFL on Showtime. Phil Simms also watching on the NFL today. That was hilarious.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.